here today because she was opening up the library, and also today is every other week. My wife and I have the privilege of going to, we have a service at 2:15 at Amica Retirement Home in Newmarket, and then at 7 o'clock we have another service at Barton. So today we have three services. And it's a special one at Amica today because our dear pianist who's been playing the piano for us for the last 5 years, this is his last Sunday, and he will be moving up to South River with his family, and so we're having a carrot cake. And so Joanne has stayed home today to make sure everything is set up for the service this afternoon and everything, but she will be at my side. And what an amazing last hymn that you gave. That was the hymn of my graduating class 50 years ago from London College of Bible and Missions. That was Be Thou My Vision. That was our hymn, and that's my hymn that I've asked my wife to be sung at the day that I graduate to be with the Lord. I want others to know that that was is my vision. And it is such a joy to be with you. And the Lord gave Joanne and I the privilege of going to Congo after the Simba Rebellion. There was independence in 64. And then it took 5 years with all of the killing that took place at that time in Congo. It was not safe for outsiders to be there. But Joanne and I, as newlyweds in 67, we had to be married 2 years before you would go into a non-English-speaking country. They've changed it now to 1 year. I still think that the 2 years were needed, as you're going into a place where you hear no English. And that's where the Lord took us. For 22 years, we had the privilege of being there and to just to love the local people. They're such a beautiful, beautiful people. We were only 5 degrees north of the equator, but we were at 6,900 feet. Now, right now where you're sitting, you're at about 500 feet above sea level. So what you need to do is look up and go up 1 mile, and that's where my house was, at 6,900 feet in the highlands of northeast Congo, and our temperature was between 60 and 80 degrees all year round because that was where there were no mosquitoes. And so they put the mission school, Ray the Academy, there, and that's where we were teaching. And Joanne was there the entire time, but once, I was such a slow learner. Don't ask my older brothers, but anyways, I took 4 years to have to learn the Swahili language. But you know, the local people knew that even though I made many, many mistakes, they knew I spoke from my heart. And so I left the academy and then went full-time into the church work in that area and had the privilege of overseeing 94 churches, of which I got to 92 of them. It took 2 years to visit the churches only once because I had the privilege of being out in the village 40 weeks a year. And Joanne and the kids would join me once a month. They would come out 12 times. But I was out almost every weekend, and what a joy it was to see God working in that area. And my prayer now is that Joanne and I can go back to Congo once more. The Lord gave us a little challenge and wrinkle over the last 2 years. Our oldest daughter came down with cancer. And then 1 year later, her husband came down with cancer. And so we've been battling that for the last 2 years, and so we were needed here. So all plans of Africa were put on hold, but we're thankful that they're finished their treatments and continuing to trust the Lord with their 5 little ones. We literally moved into the place in Loretto, just west of Beaton. and we lived there for the year with them just to help them out. But, you know, God is so faithful. God is amazing. And I praise God. And when Pastor Audie came, his family hadn't even arrived yet. We fell in love with him, and he had come over to our house, and we knew this was going to be a lasting relationship, and we're so thankful for Pastor Audie and Anna and the family, for each one. And you are blessed. Audie was the one who always filled in for me when I wanted to take a Sunday off from one of my Amica or Barton. So it's only fair that I come and help him out when he's away. And so what a joy it is. Now, I want to make sure that everyone has one of these little booklets. And you will be seeing behind me some of the verses and things as we share. But this is only part one. It's amazing as we look at the life of a man whose name was Mr. Encouragement. We're going to look at eight different ways that Barnabas demonstrates how we can encourage others. And so before we begin, I want to tell you a little story. Birch Foraker, the president of the Bell Telephone Company in New York City. On this evening with his wife, on a cold January night. They had just come out of the theater, and the after-theater crowd was making their way up Broadway, and they came to 42nd and Broadway. And an executive stopped in amazement. There was a whole group of people, and they looked. What did they see? Here, in the middle of the road, with his top hat and his dinner jacket, Birch Foraker was coming out of the manhole in the middle of the street, up onto the road, and people said, "Why? He's got his top coat on. He's all dressed out for having been at the theater. Why would he be there? Was there a problem? Was he worried?" No. He remembered before he went to the theater that a few of his men had to work in an emergency situation on Sunday night. And he went down the manhole just to encourage his men. And that is why this man, the name Birch Foraker, was known as the friend to 10,000 people. He was loved. He was Mr. Encouragement to those that worked at that time at the Bell Company. They were encouraged by his presence, by his chat. And that's why, even to this day, he's known as the man with 10,000 friends. Now, you know, each one of us, we find ourselves in this very, very busy world. We are busy down our own little hole, and we are so busy, we wonder, who will be the relief valve? Who will be the one that will be the encourager? Who will encourage me? Who will encourage you? And so we want to, just at the beginning here, look at what does the Bible say about encouragement? And if we can have those verses, first of all, in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but kind words cheer him up. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. And then in Proverbs 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 31, verse 26. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. It's interesting that if you look up in the dictionary, and this was the Webster's dictionary, what does it say? That what is encouragement? It says it's to inspire with courage, a spirit of hope, to spur on, to stimulate, to give help. Today and next week, we are going to see what the Bible teaches us about encouragement. And we're going to look at a one man's life. Do you realize that Barnabas is mentioned 28 times in Scripture? 23 of them are found in the book of Acts. And the other five are in the epistles of Paul. And so, this, I want to show you why this name, Mr. Barnabas, Mr. Encouragement, is very true. Most of the references link Barnabas with Paul, but there are seven major ones that show actual things that happen in his life. Dear friends, how we act, what we do, are the real pictures of whether we are encouragers. Not necessarily what we say, but what we do. And so please follow along in your sheets as we look at our first example. And if you want to turn in your Bibles, it is to Acts chapter 4. This is the first time we get the picture of Barnabas. Anytime you read a passage, you need to understand the background. We know that there was a growing but a very persecuted church. Peter and John at this time had already been arrested. But in spite of this, there was a oneness of spirit. And we actually, I don't think you have the, if you can go to the next slide, please, and show the verses. All right, I'm going to read just from verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money for the sale and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. And here we have now, verse 36. This is the first time Barnabas is mentioned. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, that's that little island in the Mediterranean off the coast of the western part, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. And so we need to look at this a little bit more closely. We shall see that he was worthy of his name. For every time we see the name Barnabas in the book of Acts, he is showing a different way of encouragement. The church was in difficulty, and so he sold what he had. And it's interesting how that when we don't know why. Barnabas, remember, was born and was raised in Cyprus. For some reason, he left Cyprus and went down to Jerusalem. And he bought a farm there and was very prosperous. But for some reason there, and I can imagine that he must have just been a blessing. He came into the church. There was this persecuted church, but we find that maybe they said to him, "Joseph, because you have been such a blessing and encouragement to us, we are renaming you Barnabas, son of encouragement." And so this is the beginning of where we find him. And so the first example is that the encouragement of sacrificing ownership. It has been said, a man's money preaches a tremendous sermon. In 2 Corinthians 9:13, in the Phillips translation, your very giving proves the reality of your faith and the means that men thank God that you practice the gospel that you profess to believe in, as well as for the actual gifts you make to them and to others. You know, you probably have heard time to time we talk about money, we talk about offerings, but you know, it's one very, very important truth is that when you find it in the New Testament, it says, now each gave according to how God had blessed them. Just because one person can put in $1,000, that might only be 1%. But another person who puts in $10, that might be 50% of what they're earning. And so we give from our heart. And that is what Barnabas did. And so the encouragement of sacrificing ownership showed the encouragement on the part of Barnabas. So he demonstrated by his actual selling his farm and bringing everything he had to the church. That's example number one. We have to jump over to Acts chapter 9. For our second time, we see him being mentioned. Acts chapter 9. And we read, when he came to Jerusalem, now who's he? No. All right. Can we have the next slide, please? All right. Okay. Paul, between chapter 4 and now, Paul had his experience on the road to Damascus. We got to remember that his name was Saul, and he was going about throwing the Christians in jail. He was the number one enemy of any Christian. But Saul, who became Paul, had a true conversion. But there was a problem. Notice what I just read. That in Acts chapter 9, verse 26, you don't have that. It says that when he, Paul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Let's stop right there. Do you blame them? If all you had seen was a gentleman was going around finding wherever there was a church and throwing the people in jail, and many of them were killed, and all of a sudden, on the Sunday morning, there he is, sitting in the back row, and he comes in, and he says that he tried to join the Christians. Do you think if you had seen the previous week, the headlines, Saul removes Christians from church number A, the headlines, and all of a sudden, he appears there. I can't blame them. I'd have questions. But please notice, this is an amazing verse in verse 27. Let's read it together. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Wow. Let's just understand, okay? How can a person who was so bad be so good? No one was willing to give Paul a chance. Probably with reason. Maybe they all had lost somebody. But what does it say? Our second example of encouragement. The encouragement of sharing companionship. Please notice the three verbs. But Barnabas took him. You know what? If there'd been a McDonald's or a Tim Hortons, I'm sure he would have taken him down for a coffee. And he would have spent time. It says that he took him. Barnabas spent time with Paul. He got to know him. Because how else could he then, it says he brought him. He took him to McDonald's. He took him to Tim Hortons. He learned all about him. He heard the story of how God had worked in his life. And then it says, okay, come with me. And Barnabas, one of the key elders of the Jerusalem church, brought him. And then Barnabas stands up in the church and says, this man loves Jesus. Wow. He couldn't have done that if he hadn't spent time with him. So the second encouragement is that Barnabas put his reputation in danger. Barnabas, who was well-respected, and we're going to learn more about that later, he was a well-respected elder of the Jerusalem church, and he stands up and says, I vouch for Paul. And they listened. And it's amazing. He told them how Saul had, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Barnabas' reputation was at stake, but it paid off. How easy is it for us to exclude by simply doing nothing? A new person moves into the neighborhood. A new person arrives at church. Did you see that hat that she's wearing? We condemn the poor person before we even speak to them. And even before they arrive, we have analyzed them, we've labeled them, we've categorized them. I won't like that person. God help us to be another Barnabas. The encouragement of companionship and the encouragement of sacrificing ownership. I want to tell you a little story. One day a father went and visited Rift Valley Academy in Kenya. That's the African Missions main school there in Kenya. He was on the school board, and the school board was meeting to make decisions concerning the school. But when he arrived there, he discovered there was a problem. Immediately he was approached by the principal. And later by a concerned teacher saying that your son is making friendships with students that will potentially have a bad influence on him. What was the solution? The father thanked them for their concern and said that he would discuss the matter with his son. When time permitted of the two to be alone, the father brought up the matter to his son of this friendship with this particular group of students. Typically, all parents want their children to choose friends that will enhance or strengthen them. We want our kids to hang out with the ones who are going to raise them. This father was no exception. And as a result, he shared his concern to his son. The son gave a very surprising answer. Listen to the son's response. "Dad, I made this friendship because this other student needed a friend. Yes, he's been suspended. He's got into lots of trouble, but he needs a friend, and I want to be that friend. It does look like I'm hanging out with the wrong crowd, but that doesn't bother me. He knows that what I believe. What do you think, Dad?" How would you answer? The father's response: "I was concerned when I was approached by the principal and another staff member, but now I understood why you have wanted this friendship." And the father turned to the son and said, "Go for it. I'll be praying for you and your friends." Dear friends, true friendships are risky. There are misunderstandings. There are potential problems. We know not know how we're going to be read. But you know, often we're so mindful of, oh, what will people think if I do this? Fooey on that. If God lays a person on your heart and you know what you believe, be that friend, even at risk. And so we have the example of sharing companionship. Let's move on to the third one. We got to go over to the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. The 11th chapter. This is quite interesting. I'm actually going to read a couple verses ahead of what you have. "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed, traveling as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews, some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks, also telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord hand was with them, and a great number of the people believed and turned to the Lord." You get the setting? Up at Antioch, up in Syria, there's a new church. People are coming to know the Lord. Verse 22, it's in your sheet. "News of this reached the church in Jerusalem." Who do you think they sent? And they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he said, "How can they do that without me? Don't they know that they need me there? This isn't good that they're doing so well." Is that what it says? No. Dear friends, have you ever reacted to someone else's blessing? We're jealous. We're upset because it's not us. But notice what he did. And he said, when he arrived and saw the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their heart. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Dear friends, these were not Jews. These were people from Cyprus, Cyrene. They had reached Antioch. They had accepted the Lord. The word had reached there, and so they sent Barnabas. Our Mr. Encouragement was dispatched. A man of Cyprus was sent to encourage men from Cyprus. You catch that? There were some of his own people were there. Jerusalem to Antioch seems to be about 500 kilometers. Do you know how long that took him to get there? 2 weeks of walking 32 kilometers a day. You ready for the journey? 32 kilometers, 2 weeks. This group needed leadership, they needed direction, and so they send Barnabas. And so this is the encouragement of showing fellowship. He wasn't jealous. He was excited of what God was doing. And so not only did he demonstrate by giving up ownership, not only did he show encouragement by showing companionship to Paul, here we find that he is rejoicing in someone else's success, and he realizes how amazing God is working. Antioch, you realize, was a key center. It was located on the Orontes River in Syria, north of Palestine. And I thought I had the map, but I don't, to show you, but you have the map there. If you look at the map in your booklet, see where it is. It is considered, if you turn on your sheet there, there's the map. It is considered the third city of the Roman Empire. That's how important this city was. Number three, it was known as the Paris of the ancient world. And God was establishing a church. Barnabas saw at a glance that God was working mightily among these Gentiles. So he encouraged them to continue in the Lord with great determination. How do we react at someone else's success? Jealousy or support? How great it was that this young church was visited by such a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Now we come to our fourth one today. What does he do? As soon as he realized this in Acts chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, maybe Barnabas thought this way. Hey, you know what? They think I'm great. I was the representative from Jerusalem. And now they think I'm great. You know what? I can stay here and be sort of the top dog. Is that what we read? No. What does it say? Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. Whoa. We got to understand what happened. Saul, was introduced to the Jerusalem church by whom? By Barnabas. And the people believed him because Barnabas believed them. But then there was a lot of difficulty and a lot of persecution, and Saul goes home. Look at your map. Where is Tarsus? Look at the map. He goes home to Tarsus. That's even further north, around the corner to Tarsus. And so we find that Barnabas is a true encourager. He says, ha ha, I need my Timothy. My life verse is 2 Timothy 2:2. Commit thou to faithful men who will teach others also. That's been my life verse, is to train someone else to take over. And what a joy it is now even to receive, even though the emails have to come through Uganda, I still am in touch with the gentleman who is there in Congo, the fellow who took over when I was director of the Bible school, and then I trained him for 2 years. And everything that I did, he was at my side. Every letter that was written, he was at my side. And at the end of 2 years, I went to the church council and said, I'm stepping down. They said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. He's ready. He's ready to take over. I want him to be the director, and I'll become his sidekick. The encouragement of training leadership. What does verse 25 and 26 says? Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, the number three city in the Roman Empire. For one whole year, Barnabas was training his Timothy. Why did he leave? We know that back in chapter 9, verse 29, Saul had to leave because they were trying to kill him. And so he went back home. And so, you know, friendships are lasting. Barnabas had shown the encouragement of sharing companionship to Saul when no one else cared. Anxious to encourage Saul in the ministry and to give the church a benefit of his teaching, Barnabas departed to Tarsus. That's Turkey today, okay? Another 10 to 14 day journey. He walked. And then he walked back with him. For a complete year, they were a team. Barnabas, the leader, Saul, the trainee, and they worked in the church, and great things happened. So I want to challenge you. Take the opportunity to train others. None of us are indispensable. I remember one time at Raithe, I was the station manager and was responsible. I met with all the men. And I said to them, I said, okay, every one of you, it doesn't matter what your job is. If your job is to turn on the generator for us to have 3 hours of electricity at night, or your job, it doesn't matter what your job is, I want every man on this station, including myself, you are to train one other man in your job. So that if you disappear, they can do it. And we did that. It's important. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be an elder. You may be a deaconess. It doesn't matter what your job is. I challenge you today, think about the person who you can train. And so as we close today, I want to give you a challenge. You have seen on this sheet the encouragement of sacrificing ownership. He sold what he had. The encouragement of sharing companionship. He was a friend to a person who nobody liked. And then the encouragement of fellowship. When another group of people were excited and God was blessing, he went there and encouraged them. He didn't criticize them, he encouraged them. And then he said, hey, they need teaching. Barnabas was the elder, he was the teacher. But he says, why do I do it alone so they can think I'm the big shot? No, no. He walked all that way to Tarsus, brought Saul back and says, Saul, I want you to listen. I want you to become my Timothy. I want you to be with me for a whole year. And so we have the encouragement of training leadership. Please turn to the back page. Barnabas, son of encouragement. Personal application. What will I do to encourage others? I've given you four there. Encouragement by. Now, we've only had four examples. I'm not telling everyone to go home and call up the realtor, sell your home, and bring the money to next week's offering. I'm not saying that. If the Lord leads you to, God bless you. But I want you to take the four things that we've talked about, the four ways. You know what you have. Dear friends, my wife and I, we're trying to downsize. I mean, we've only been back here just a few years, but we've got too much stuff. Look in your closet. Have you got clothes that you're not wearing? Is there someone else who could use them? Or do you have someone on your street who's just moved in? Could you make them a nice chocolate pie, chocolate cake, and go over there and give it to them, or just to love them? God has blessed each one of us. He also, every one of you knows at least one person at work or in your neighborhood. I guarantee you know one person by name right now that you know that you could encourage them. Is there a neighbor that you haven't spoken to for a month? You know, one of the greatest things that you can do, and one of the easiest ways, you say, well, oh, I can't be a preacher. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know what? It's amazing. Without being insulting, I have yet to have a person turn me off on this. When I've said to them, I said, you know, I'd love to share with you some amazing things that God has been doing for me. And I just share what God has done, God's faithfulness in my life. I'm not saying, hey, buddy, you're going to hell, you better smarten up. Oh, no, no. You love them. And you can share your love and just say, you know, it's amazing what God did this week for me or for my children or for... We can share companionship. We can show fellowship. Which means when something wonderful happens here at church, we don't become jealous. We become say, hey, God bless you. I'm glad things are going so well for you. Wow. Or again, as I said, maybe you want to say, hey, how would you like to be in my Sunday school class and learn the ropes and then take over and then I'll become your assistant? I encourage you to choose at least one over this week. And if nothing else, just take a piece of paper and say, I want to encourage you. And give somebody a note. Just tell them how much you love them. And you say, oh, you mean so-and-so? I've got to show encouragement to so-and-so? Yeah. You know what's the best thing? The person who you can't stand. Sometimes, even in a church this size, there's somebody who bugs you. You just wish they'd get lost. But you know what you do? Write their name down on a piece of paper. No, don't throw darts at them, no. Pray for them. It's amazing. If you pray for that person every day, you'll find that your mouth can't do both. You can't pray for them and curse them in the same... And you'll be a son of encouragement. Let's close in prayer. Father, our time is spent. What an exciting example in the life of Barnabas, and we're only halfway through. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you use Barnabas to be an encourager. Lord, thank you that you are desiring to use each person here who have put their faith and trust in you, who can cry, Abba, Father, that we will truly be sons of encouragement and that we'll reach out in whatever way, whatever capacity, and just to love those around us. And that they will see the beauty of Jesus in each one of us. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you teach us. And Father, we just pray you in Jesus' name. Amen. We can have a final hymn.